like yesterday. I was a little bit stronger.
Welcome to KPFK 90.7, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Damon Azali, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Mann, and this is the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour. So today we're going to be focusing on the 2005 mayoral elections, but first we're going to actually have a commentary by Eric Mann around the recent passing of Miguel Contreras, who was the head of the LA Federation of Labor, and who passed last Friday from a heart attack. Our second segment, we'll be talking to Anthony Thigpen, who is the director of the campaign director for Antonio Villaraigosa's for mayor campaign, and he's going to be making the case why progressives and leftists should support the councilman for his bid for mayor. After which, we'll be speaking to Julie Butcher from SEIU 347, who is going to be taking the other side and talking about why folks should be voting for the current mayor, the incumbent Mayor Han. And our third segment keeps on going. We have Fernando Guerra, who is the executive director of the Center for the Study of Los Angeles from Loyola Marymount University, who's going to be talking about statistics in terms of where are the candidates at and what this actually means for the kind of the vote coming up. And finally, we're going to be hearing from all of you. We're going to give you a minute each to make your case on who you think we should vote for and give you the airwaves. So here we are with Eric Mann with his commentary.
Hi, everybody. Today we mourn the death of Miguel Contreras, a major figure in the Los Angeles and National Trade Union Movement, Secretary-Treasurer of the LA County Federation of Labor, that is, its executive director, field general, chief strategist, and tactician. I've known and worked with Maria Elena Durazo, Miguel's wife and partner, the president of Local 11 of the Hotel and Restaurant Employees Now Here Unite, for more than 15 years, and worked with Miguel for more than 10 years. Miguel was one of those important historical figures because he was great at what he did. We did not always agree, but we were always on good terms, and when our interests coincided, we were on excellent terms. There are many other things to talk about, but I'm just trying to give a few personal anecdotes of things in terms of my and the Strategy Center and Bus Riders Union relationship with Miguel. At one major event in front of the MTA board in about 1998, the Bus Riders Union was pushing the MTA to not appeal our civil rights consent decree. We had just won a major victory for 350 buses, but the so-called liberal democratic MTA board was going to try to take our case to the Supreme Court, actually, and do what's called a states' rights defense of their own case. That is to say, they didn't want to buy the buses after we won. We had brought more than 100 people to oppose the appeal, and Miguel had not yet agreed to be one of them, although I tried to reach him. But it turns out he was there on another matter, a fight over union representation and contracts at the MTA. When I saw him there, I asked him to testify on our behalf, and Miguel, who rarely liked to mix his issues, knowing that the BRU was very controversial with the MTA, agreed on the spot and gave a strong, not going through the motions, but a strong talk to the MTA about not appealing our case. I remember Richard Reardon somewhat shocked to see the AFL-CIO supporting the Bus Riders Union. It didn't change the mind of the board. They appealed, but it did increase the influence of the BRU with some board members on subsequent issues. Our greatest collaboration was during the late 90s, during the bus driver strike, when Miguel had stepped in to help the drivers of the UTU, the mechanics of the ATU, and the clerical workers of the MTA to pull together a strike against the MTA. The MTA had literally driven the drivers out on strike by demanding givebacks and a two-tiered wage system from the union. In reality, the divided MTA unions could not pull off the strike themselves. It took Miguel to come in and become the lead organizer and campaign tactician. I had written an op-ed in the LA Times supporting the bus drivers, pointing out that the BRU did so despite the historical lack of support by the UTU for our demands for more buses, lower fares, and the civil rights consent decree. The next morning, we called a press conference in support of the drivers, and Miguel showed up, happy to see the support of the BRU, and the Times ran a good story saying labor leaders support drivers, with pictures of Miguel and myself. despite the very different politics about labor that Miguel and I represented. For 30 days, Miguel and I must have talked every day about the strike on his cell. As the BRU was a featured speaker at the many large rallies with Black and Latino community leaders trying to push the MTA to settle and abandon its union-busting tactics. One of the things I was struck by in working so closely with Miguel for 30 days is very frankly to see the incredible divisions within the labor movement, how difficult it is for them to even carry out a strike in their own behalf, and what a tremendous lead organizer he was. And he was the driving force in why the drivers could have their own strike. On a subsequent time, to indicate the relationship of equality and comradeship between Maria Elena and Miguel, Maria Elena and I had a breakfast meeting set up at Langer's Deli to discuss mutual strategies and how we could help each other. As I was on the lookout for Maria Elena, in came Miguel, who said, "Maria Elena had an emergency at the union, but told me, 'I can't stand up, Eric, you go.' So the president of Local 11 told the head of the AFL-CIO to stand in for her, and we had a great meeting to talk about possible collaborations. Miguel did amazing work to turn the almost moribund county fed into a dynamic force in citywide politics and mobilized the growing Latino immigrant workforce, and he and Maria Elena were among the key national leaders who turned the AFL-CIO around, from its previous anti-immigrant stance to finally realizing that if they could not organize Latino and immigrant workers in L.A., San Diego, Houston, New York, and virtually every major urban center in the U.S., they would be out of business. But you have to remember that as late as 10 years ago or 12 years ago, the AFL-CIO was virulently anti-immigrant, and it took the work of Maria Elena and Miguel and others to turn that around. I had many major disagreements with Miguel about strategy and tactics. He would not be bringing labor to fight against the war in Iraq. He nurtured his relationships with the L.A. and Democratic Party political establishment, and often he chose to sit out fights I wish he would make. I think he would have said, if Miguel speaking, "Well, my goal is to improve the conditions of the working class through trade union struggles. My objectives are trade union victories, not social revolution." But my generally successful relationship with Miguel had to do with an understanding and appreciation that the left is a tiny minority in this country. We build alliances and united fronts with many forces with whom we do not share strategic agreement, but look for the possibilities of major tactical alliances whenever possible. And we try to cultivate relationships in a way that even when people disagree with you, out of respect and perhaps their appreciation of your strength and base, they do not go out of their way to hurt you or even throw support to you behind the scenes whenever they can and in front of the camera when they feel it is necessary and possible. Miguel Contreras was great at what he did. Many of the people on the left are not. Within his worldview and his own strategy, he pushed history forward. The challenge for the rest of us is to do as well in our sphere of work as he did in his. My deepest condolences to Maria Elena and the entire family. Miguel Contreras, presente.
We'll be right back with Anthony Thigpen just after this break.
One blood, one blood.